Well, I think last week about a couple hundred live, and then about another 800, 900 later. So we're glad that there's a lot of interest, and I think this will grow broader and continue. Want to say welcome to all who are coming in. Welcome to everyone into the chat room. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And also, this is the Shatter the Darkness, SIIU, the Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit. And some of what we do, 18 weeks in this course, we're in the first half, 9 weeks. I hope you got the manual. That'll help you out. We're going to go point by point. We are on page 29 tonight. First hour is a lecture. Second hour is an interaction with a former victim of everything. And we're going to take a look at what happened in her life. And we're going to be asking her some questions tonight. And, well, I tell you what. That's one of thousands and thousands and thousands out there. Many of you that have come by listening alone, victims, some are checking in to see what we're doing. Some are checking in to see if there's any hope. And I hope that we can convey. We're going to do this because this is, again, our training course, Shatter the Darkness, and we're going to start off with some prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we just simply pray for everyone coming into the course. All those who want to learn, all those that you will call to get involved directly, all the victims specifically, stretch out your hand, God, for extraordinary healings, extraordinary help in their lives. Tremendous intervention, we pray, Lord, by your hands alone. We ask you to destroy all the work of the enemy and deception and deceit. Deliver all from evil and wicked men in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you tonight. That's why we are here. This occult crimes class will go from some light level stuff in the beginning. Well, for some, it might be. For others, it might be brand new. But I think that with the numbers, and again, if we start just with the low numbers, if I simply say, okay, some say there's only about 2 or 3 million cases. The psychiatrist Colin Ross that wrote the book Project Bluebird, The Purposeful Creation of Multiple Personality Disorder. Now, he suggests the possibility of he agrees with an assessment of 10 million. And then we haven't counted Canada, Australia, Europe, Russia, England, Ireland, South Africa, and all over the place. So when it comes down to satanic ritual abuse that is inseparable from satanic rituals, that is inseparable from the dark powers, and is inseparable from the long, long agenda that has everything to do with what's happening and what is going to happen here in the future. Listen, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to the class. And I know more will come in this hour as we are engaging. You don't have to be in the chat room at all. If you have some questions along the way, you're allowed to put those up, but we want to make sure that we are going to stay focused just on the course. I won't be able to engage any other questions other than what's on this course. So this is like Shatter University, and we're glad you're here. Tonight we are on page 29 of the workbook. If you have the workbook, you can get that. You don't have to. All of it's free, but it's going to be helpful, and we hope that you can get a hold of it. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you will see where it says Occult Crimes Major Course, and you click on that, then that will take you to the actual site. It'll say Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit. It'll give you the link to this live course during the week. For us, the first thing where it says Plan Now, it'll link you right to how you've come on here. Below that is then archives of the live course. You click on that, and every week I will upload these archives. We're recording them separately from a blog talk. Our audio quality is better, and so that's what I'll be putting up, except for the interviews, but I'll be putting up the audios on that page. On that page, I will also be putting up from time to time PDF files that we've written, other materials that we need and think that should be up there. We will have a listing of all the books that we're suggesting. I want you to hear me now. All the books I mentioned last week, though I think they're good to read and important to read, I can't say I agree with every single concept. Some of them focus on one side of the subject, some on the other. And that's true about some of the other things that we're going to quote and mention to you along the way. But anyway, I'm glad you're here, and this is the first session. We are on page 29. It is titled under point A, What Should You Know About Satanic Ritual Abuse? What does it matter? Does it matter to the church? Does it matter to anybody else? Well, I believe so. Absolutely so. I'm going to read to you out of page 4. A law enforcement detective, long time now, now retired, Dale Griffiths, PhD, the book Secret Weapons. The reason I like the book is because he's been on the field for a long time. Almost all of the major cases in the 90s, massive, I've been to his home, massive content and materials. But he also knows what multiples are. He also knows the satanic ritual abuse side of this. And so he engaged Cheryl and Lynn Hersha. They were both multiples, one more inclined towards the coven, one more inclined towards the military side, subpersonalities, programming, demonization. And they went on, a big hunt, an investigation. Now I'm going to read to you something that he wrote in reference to the victim, Cheryl Hersha, on page 4. It's titled Becoming a Lab Rat. Here's what it says, quote, Cheryl woke up alone and frightened. And it has a quote about her talking. I was taken back to the cell and left there overnight. They brought me a glass so I could get water from the tap, but nothing else. They locked the door and made it very clear that I was being punished. I was a bad girl. I had not done what they wanted. We're ashamed of you. Your parents are ashamed of you. You are stupid, the researchers told Cheryl. None of the statements were true. Cheryl and all the other children tested were exceptional, with the exception of Lynn, fell within the range of expected responses to the experiment. Now, he goes on in that chapter to describe the experiments on those who are young, those who were involved concerning those who were young and involved in all of it. So I think it's important that we understand that the victims that have come from the military side, the victims that have come from the coven sides, well, overall, here's the approach. In the late 70s, they began to show up at psych wards. In the 80s, by the thousands and thousands. In the 90s, Centennial Hospital, the ritual abuse ward, Holly Hector working on that ward in the hospital, they are quoted in a workbook called Satan and Associates by Wendell Amstead's. That 2.4 million cases, that's early 90s. By 2004, psychiatrist out of Canada, Colin Ross, agrees with the assessment, 10 million. Let's just say 2 million. I don't know exactly how many, but I do know that every single psych ward, every single city, every single place we've been, there are victims, and then the children of the victims, and then the children of those children, all the way down now to 4 generations. So I'm going to say that the assessment is I'm not sure if we can assess it because of the victims that we dealt with, well over 300, and we're talking hundreds and hundreds, actually over 30 years, thousands of hours, and that's when we're going to tell you that half the people that we've had have never been to a psych ward or counseling center, so they've not been counted. The sleepers, those intact of these satanic ritually abused, they're intact. They're out there. Now, what we want to do on page 29 is we have 3 questions right there. What should you know about satanic ritual abuse, or SRA? And here's the questions. Here's the questions. What do you know right now? What do you know right now? That's the important thing. Because some of you coming in may not know a lot about this. You may know a little bit about Satanism, the popular side, Anton LaVey, traditional Satanism, all of that. Maybe Wicca, maybe the New Age, whatever else. But what about, listen, what do you know? That's important. Because it's about information. We can be completely ignorant on a subject and not have the facts and not have been, you know, dealing with it. For example, let me give you an example. Somebody called me to tell me that Dr. Phil, television Dr. Phil, was going to be on television and going to be interviewing a multiple personality, or the DID. They call it dissociative identity disorder now. Now, he was going to interview this person, this victim, and he did. I watched it. No question about it. Multiple personalities, a satanic ritual abuse background. Now, as he's engaging, guess what happens right on live television? He asks for her to switch to other personalities, and she does. Now, this has happened on other programs. There's actually movies out there now based on this subject. Dollhouse and The Pretender had a little bit of this element into it, and some of the others that have been out. Now, here's what Dr. Phil did. He constantly turned right to the camera, and here's what Dr. Phil would say. This is a very, very rare, psychological, condition. And he constantly talked about how rare. Now, that astounded me for someone that would say they're a psychologist or a counselor, because in the field of psychology, in the field of psychiatry, going back to 1947, Dr. G.H. Estabrook's world-famed, and I say in the bad way, renowned in the bad way, but the world knew him, G.H. Estabrook's. He's written on this subject. He says it in his book in 1947, multiple personality disorder. He describes the ability that they had to splice, soldiers and actually splice them and create an alter personality. And that's what happened. That's what happened. The issue is that we have all the way back to 1947. And here's where I think a lot of folks didn't do the homework. Because as they began to show up in psych wards in the late 70s and 80s and 90s and all the way to this very day. As a matter of fact, what I do when I go to conferences, when I go on the REAP trips, and we're talking 60, 65 other cities, I try to contact the psych wards or I contact a local counseling center and ask them if they're dealing with satanic ritual abuse or specifically multiple personality disorder. Guess what? In all those cases, they say they are. All of them. And I think that's pretty significant. And that continues to go on pretty much across the board. And we keep doing that. That's why we're saying in your homework, in your town, in your local town, call the counseling centers, call the psych wards, call a psychologist, ask them if they're dealing with it. Now, you're going to have to be discerning. Because I believe within that field, there is a little bit of cover-up. Colin Ross's book, Project Bluebird, The Purposeful Creation of Multiple Personality Disorder, that is the description, the DSM-3, the Diagnostic Manual for basically the American Psychological Association. The DSM-4 changed the terminology to dissociative identity disorder. And then they try to explain. Now, if you go on the web, you can look it up. You can see what they have to say about it. I'm going to bring in a little bit of this and tell you about the changes they made because they were grappling with it. They didn't know what to do with all of them. They didn't know how to engage this. They wrongly diagnosed them late 70s, early 80s as schizophrenic. Then they realized this is not schizophrenic. And then they begin to hear about the stories. And then they begin to hear, then they begin to involve law enforcement and others to begin to track it down. Then all those cases, now again, some of the popular cases that got out on television or maybe in the original first number of books, those were a scratch. Just a drop in the bucket for what was really going on out there. So that's why I'm asking you, what do you know about it right now? That's why we have the course. Glad you're here. And you can go to Bing and search and put in dissociative identity disorder, multiple personality disorder. Now you're going to get different views. And I'm going to give you some insight concerning the secular approach, which is on the one hand, like locally here, there was a psychiatrist in a local psych ward system here in the hospitals, Dr. Moshe Torum. He also wrote on the subject saying that, hey, and he taught this. I went to a training at the hospital just to listen to his speech. And he told those in the room not to really believe the subpersonalities in their stories, not to really talk to the subpersonalities, because that will only strengthen them and allow them to be there. And this was also the case with another well-known psychiatrist in the area. And that's part of the difficulty. Within the world of psychiatry and those in psychology, though that it is described definitively in their views in the DSM-3, the DSM-4, and now in the next one also, though they've been dealing with it in the insurance industries, though it's and see, that's where you can get your stats on how many cases. But here's the problem: defining what it really is. And that's why I want to say point number two on your page, the secular sources. You can go to the secular site. And again, I've tried to buy everything, read everything, go to every conference, be at the places, look at the websites, listen to the victims. And you will see a secular side, a mind control conference in Richmond, Virginia. Dr. Corey Dunn Hammond and Dr. Alan Shefton, the constitutional lawyer, he wrote a book called Trance on Trial. Corey Dunn Hammond, of course, was the renowned expert on hypnosis. And the conference in Richmond, Virginia in the early 90s, a lot of folks in the field went to that and listened. I sat among psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, social workers, and others as they listened to the secular approach and how to deal with it. Exactly, Richmond. And this is Richmond, Virginia, and they were telling us, and those of you that are listening in know, they told us we're not allowed to record them, videotape the conference. But they discussed in the early 90s, again, not from a Christian point of view, not from any religious point of view, from the secular side, from the hypnotherapy side, from the psychiatric side, and also from a law side with the constitutional lawyer that was there, Alan Shefton. I believe that's what he was. I know he's a lawyer. And they went over this. And they believed in that presentation where the famous green bomb speech was given and the discussions about the German connection, Nazi connection. Now, you're talking now we're talking, you know, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, there's this major information coming out to about 250 people at that conference. And the Alan Shefton and Corey Dunn Hammond is telling everybody in the conference that it's all over the United States, that they've dealt with cases now in Canada, Australia, around the world, and they believed, not because they're Christians or religious, they believed out of their field it was a conspiracy, that there were those who were creating it, those who were doing it, those who were developing it, that there was an agenda behind it. That's over 25 years ago. That's the secular side. You're going to find that in law enforcement. You're going to find that in others that have that pumped out. And that's without tracking backwards purposely, dealing with the demonic side. So here's the issue. If you deal with the secular sources, you will get, and I'm going to say this, the phrases SRA, that is satanic ritual abuse, MPD, multiple personality disorder, DID, the dissociative identity disorder. Here's the issue. The question is, you know, that's the secular approach in engaging. There's no question they will not deal with the demonic side, and in many cases won't believe the demonic side. And here's part of the issue. Part of my issue is this, that in these, well, as we had come to our offices, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, law enforcement, teachers, pastors that would bring us the victims. Bring us the victims. And they would sit in. We would have them sit in. And in most of those cases, we dealt with deliverance and engagement of the demons. And that happened, time again and again. We're talking again probably hundreds of times over those years in the offices up to this very date. So secular sources will at least acknowledge, give the secular terminology, secular diagnosis, and offer their view of integration and or how to handle this. So that's only the side that's going to acknowledge the numbers, acknowledge, you know, that, hey, this is a vast and broad engagement, that it kind of in some ways shocked the psychological and the community psychiatrists and so forth, the counseling centers, and obviously the insurance industries, because they would, the insurance had to say, finally, hey, we'll let you bring in an MPD, a DID, but we'll only give them 4 weeks, or we'll only give them 6 weeks of insurance. And everybody knows this. If you are a victim, or if you've been working with victims, and they have been drawn in, guess what happens? They've been drawn in. I mean, they've been taken into the psych wards and so forth. They've been, you know, counted among the stats and everything else. And the difficulty is going to be that they're kicked out. When the insurance runs out, the money runs out, they're kicked out. So it's very hard. And usually the therapies can be hypnotherapy. They can be drug therapies. They can be, you know, coping skills and many other things. That's just a broad look at that. Let me give you the third question here tonight on that same page 29. This is very important for all believers. And I say this is important because I believe, listen carefully, I believe that the initial creation of this agenda has everything to do with the church as it brings about a counterfeit, as it brings about new levels of warfare, and as it brings about covert infiltration into the body of Christ to bring confusion, shame and blame, all kinds of things. And we're going to be discussing those tactics of infiltration. We'll give them to you one by one in a later one of these lectures, one of these discussions. What should the church know? Now think again. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I always begin with, because if, you know, Jesus is in control and he's the creation of the real body of Christ, then it's indestructible. It'll be here when he comes to, you know, be caught up. But here's the issue. It doesn't mean that it doesn't go through persecution, doesn't go through the attempts, you know, like in Acts chapter 5. Satan tried to get right into the church to cause trouble. That's true across the board as you read the New Testament. So there's always this issue of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know, to be sober-minded and alert because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around, you know, seeking someone, you know, like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And that can come through individuals. The book of 1 John and Colossians is written about individuals who are into counterfeit, fallen, demonic presences that were giving a challenge to the early church. So that's you got to understand that there's the church is in a spiritual battle, and that the entire system of satanic ritual abuse from beginning to end has everything to do with challenging the church, trying to harm the church, trying to bring corruption to the church, let alone the rituals themselves that involve blasphemy to God and everything that would run counter to God, God's character, the Word of God, the salvation and grace that is in Christ. Did they start placing highly programmed, spiritually, demonically empowered, covert-oriented multiples in churches in the 70s and in ministries? Did they begin to infiltrate? Yes. Did they begin to harm? Yes. Do these individuals know how to do rituals and summon demons and target pastors and target churches? Yes. Is that part of the agenda, the whole of the agenda? Now, I'm not saying that every single victim, especially those trying to get out early, that it doesn't deal with it. I mean, it all deals with that. So point number one, what do you know right now? Point number two, the secular resources. You can look at the DSM-3, the DSM-4. Again, on the web, you can look up sources. Matter of fact, let me give you on a site simply called biology-online.org. Here's what they say. What is multiple personality disorder? You know, personality. Quote, the behavior pattern commonly known as multiple personality disorder, but now called dissociative identity disorder, based on the American Psychiatric Association 1994, might be considered only a recent phenomenon. Now stop. That tells me they've not looked all the way back to 1947. G.H. Esterbrook's writing about it. G.H. Esterbrook's telling how they successfully created alter personalities in soldiers. They created programmed assassins, programmed reconnaissance agents, programmed disinformation subpersonalities. And he describes in 1947 that they need to create these kind of super soldiers and place them in every department of U.S. military. You can read it yourself. As a matter of fact, on our book resource list, I'll put a picture of the book, and if I can even get that little section and get it posted up for you, I'll do that. But that's part of the problem when I'm looking at this and I'm still sitting back thinking, wow, that's what they're going to say about this vast field when the last 30 years we're talking tens of thousands, at the very least a few million that have shown up and many that have not, and the estimations of others on the field that have been working are higher. And that doesn't count Canada, Australia, England, Ireland, South Africa, South America, Germany, Russia, Italy, in the Vatican. And once you take a look at that broad picture, that's why we have to say then, what does the church know about this? Here's what I'm going to say, and you don't have to agree with this, but I'm going to at least bring this out to you. I believe that there are... that this is an agenda that involves a goal of attack on the body of Christ to bring harm, to bring confusion, to bring new levels of warfare, and ultimately in the future. Now listen, you don't have to agree, but I'm saying my research, and I'm not the only one. And the book that we put out a couple years ago now, everywhere I go, every conference I've been to in 3 years all over the United States, guess what? Multiples are either there or law officers, people that work in psych wards or in prisons come up to say, Russ, we have them in the prisons. We have them in the psych wards. We have them in the counseling centers. We have them in our church. And obviously some of you in the chat room are saying the same thing. So, in the beginning, here's part of the problem for the church. It looks a little bizarre, and then you have to discern between subpersonalities and what is demonic. And there's a few left on the side that think it's all demonic. I'm glad that the majority have learned the difference between what is human personality and what is demonic presence. If you don't do that, you might do some harm. Now, on our second page tonight, on the second half of this first hour, I'm going to go over how do they create them? How do they make them? And I'll bring that in just a little bit. But I want you to think in terms of, and pray about this. If you're a believer and you're connected in a local body, what should the church know? How about in your church? Do you have a victim? And if they're there, are they consuming the time of many people? Are they getting healed? Anything else? Here's why I'm saying that. In the churches all over the place, when we see victims coming in there, in some cases they're presented as victims. They're either the programming or they've been set up to do this. But inside of them, here's where everybody's being hit on the left and the right, and they don't know it. Sub-cult-oriented personalities. Sub-cult-loyal, personalities, priestesses that know how to summon demons, cult loyal personalities that know how to do rituals, inside personalities trained and programmed for reconnaissance and so forth. And this is why we, you know, when they're coming in, your church may be under a spiritually assigned attack from a local coven sending in somebody. They may bring demonized objects. Now, again, don't worry about too much of this right now, because one of the hours coming up in a few weeks, all we're going to do is go over the infiltration aspects and go over the methodology. And every time I've done this where I've been called in at a counseling center with all the team members at local churches, where they all realized, wow, this is exactly what happened to us. So why should and what does your church know? Probably not much, okay? The majority of the churches that I've engaged and, you know, people that I know, they really don't. They really don't. And I can't tell you, out of 550 churches in Akron, another 400 or 500 maybe in the greater Canton area, if someone said, hey, I have multiple personality disorder, I'm a SRA, what church can you send me to get help? I know of one or two churches that have within them teams that are a little, you know, trained and being trained that might be able to help, okay? So you probably realize, and I probably realize, that 90% don't. Now, five major factors to know when it comes down to satanic ritual abuse that's inseparable from satanic rituals, inseparable from the agenda, inseparable from the rise of the demonic stuff we're seeing going around right now. Here's five things. Number one, when it comes down to the victims, number one, we have to realize these. Number one, massive abuse. Massive abuse. They're going to be afraid. They have subpersonalities. They've been damaged. They've been sexually abused and used. They've been mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even in a sense physiologically, because an actual split has occurred in their personality. They've been massively abused, put in cages, put through rituals that involved animals and blood and death, demonized, terrified, rituals called marriage to the beast, satanic revels, demon revels, rituals that are not even on the books out there that are used. Here's what I usually say concerning many of these folks. The issue is this. When it comes to the kinds of rituals, most never even heard of them. And because, again, our goal was 25 years ago to dig in and investigate and remember Ezekiel chapter 8? Ezekiel chapter 8, where God actually took him in and sought to help him find what was going on in there and broke in. And I'll say this, anybody on the intervention, investigative side of this, you need the hand of God. You're going to need prayer. You're going to need to know spiritual warfare majorly when you deal this way. When you have a SRA, MPD, DID, whatever you want to call them, and that's the popular terms I don't like to use, let me say this, that the issue is, number one, massive abuse. But deep down in there, there is programming, there is cult loyal, coven-created personalities, demonized, that hate Christ, hate the body, hate you, and may have been assigned to come and bring you harm. Amidst all the abuse, and those who are SRA, DID, can acknowledge that. Give you an example. A guy comes out of Pennsylvania, meets with us a few times and said, listen, if you're going to meet with me, Russ, take away all ink pens, get everything away from me, because someone inside me wants to take one of those pens and ram it through your eye. Let me tell you about a lady that lives in the greater Akron area, and she also has a 100-acre farm in Pennsylvania. She comes to church week after week after week, sits about three pews behind me, and guess what happens? She comes up to me one Wednesday night at a Bible study prayer meeting and says, Pastor Russ, I'm sitting back there and I see something. I said, what is it? I see a big hole in your back. And I said, a big hole in my back? And she said, yes. And I said, what's that from? She says, one of my personalities shooting you in the back with a shotgun. Now, along the way, I will tell you some of the real stories. The book tells you probably 10% of the stories. I'm going to tell you story after story after story of what really occurred and happened and where there was danger. But the ultimate end is the issue of helping them. Saying all this to tell you, number one, five major factors to know. They have had massive abuse. And even the subpersonalities that are programmed, that is like mind-controlled and then demonized to do things, to harm, sexually, physically, whatever else, sabotage, whatever else, that's because it's all been done to them, created in them, and all the rest. So realize if you have one victim of SRA, MPD, DID, you have someone with massive abuse psychologically, physiologically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, sexually, massive, when I say religious abuse in the sense that everything has been done to get them to hate God, hate Christ, hate the Bible, hate Christians, and become a warrior for the wrong side, the satanic side. Number two, real SRA MPDs, they've all been fragmented and or split within the structure of their personality. Now, in the biblical Greek, the term psuche, the idea of the soul, the soulical side of us. And again, you can go back to G.H. Esterbrooks, who was hired by U.S. military, CIA, and that's who was brought in, and that's who clearly defined that they did it, they knew how to do it, they were doing it, they were programming, and he gives four categories. Programming subpersonalities to be assassins, with triggers to where they can trigger the subpersonality to do the killing, then go down, and then the main person wouldn't know, and then have personality inside a subpersonality, an alter personality, that would be trained to be, all they do is be trained to go into a group and sow disinformation, spin disinformation. Another thing was to spread, they were to do reconnaissance. That a subpersonality inside of a person was only there to observe everybody, take down the names of everybody, all the information, and bring it back to the handlers. And I can almost guarantee you, in every single church, in every single Christian ministry, and everybody that's dealing with a SRA MPD, subpersonalities have taken all your information and given it to their handlers or the coven or someone outside of them. Whatever you say, whenever you're going to have a meeting, if you brought them to your house, if you let them in the office, I guarantee you subpersonalities can switch out and look through files, examine things, take things, and they want information. They G.H. Esterbrooks in the book Hypnosis on the chapter weaponization of the process of creating subpersonalities describes how they can just use them to infiltrate groups. Okay, well, the factors we know that fragmentation or the splitting, and I'll explain that in a moment, but that they have the main person, then they have separate sub personalities. That are different than demons. It's different than demons, and we'll try to describe that along the way. And we always tell everybody this when you're doing work and doing healing work and deliverance work, the proof's in the pudding. If you feel something's a demon, you go to command it to get out and deal with it. Real authority in Christ is going to deal with real demonic stuff. If it's human personality, it'll just back down, go down, wait. But you cannot command human personality out of a human being. Test it. Make sure you have discernment because you're going to need it. We are talking about some of the most seductive, deceptive stuff. Why? Because I believe it comes down to the core. Let me throw something out to you concerning satanic ritual abuse. Now, you remember I told you about Dr. Phil having somebody on, having no way of knowing how to help them, saying that it's all just a rare thing. But he didn't, it's like he was completely uneducated on the numbers and how many years and the DSM-3 and the DSM-4 and all the information. But here's what the secular side doesn't understand. That when you dig in and when you track and when you find out what they're all about, whether you believe this or not, here's what they say. Here's what we've researched and seen in almost 30 years. They believe they are originally created to be the troops of Antichrist, to be satanic super soldiers, to from the beginning to be selected spiritually on the demonic side, then to be created to be a superior human. Their idea of multiplicity is we have more abilities than you. Demonizing them and programming them and using them to be assassins and killers and priestesses and runners and to dig for information and spies and all the rest. But all of them know that deep inside of them, that those who have gone deep realize, hey, you know, we've been created to be a part of the coming New World Order, and we're the soldiers and we're the people. Now, whether you believe that or not, what's going to have to do, I'm only asking you to examine. Examine. Five factors to know. Number one, massive abuse. Number two, they've actually been split by trauma. It's trauma-based. I'll explain that on the next page. They've been programmed. And the best thing I can tell you about programming is this. If you think in terms of a hypnotist on television, like on the Montel Williams show, I've seen this twice, where the hypnotist comes out, the people are willing, and he hypnotizes them, puts them in trance, and then he bypasses their cognitive self, goes beyond them and to a sub-level, and tells, for example, a 290-pound big football player, he hypnotizes him, then when he's got him in a trance, bypasses his cognitive regular self and says, hey, you're a 12-year-old ballerina. You got a pink tutu on, and you're going to dance and sing like a little girl. And the hypnotist gets the big football player to do it. And the big football player's dancing around and everything else. And guess what happens in the midst of this? The hypnotist can have the hypnotized guy, you know, do this for 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden the hypnotist goes over and says, okay, now, on the count of three, you're going to feel refreshed, you won't remember a thing, you're going to snap out of it and come back, one, two, three, and then he comes out of it. And then somebody tells the big football player, hey, you were dancing around like a little, you know, 12-year-old ballerina. You were singing like a little 12-year-old girl. And he would deny it, unless somebody shows him the videotape. And so you see that kind of stage hypnotism. Well, this is deeper and broader. Actually, there are some psychiatrists like G.H. Esterbrooks that believe if you really know how to do this well, you can help induce a kind of a temporary subpersonality. But normally that takes a trauma that causes the split. But programming is this. Listen, the imposition of somebody else's will. Think in terms of the hypnotist telling the big football player, you are a little girl, you are 12 years old, you are a ballerina, you have a little pink dress on, you're going to dance around, you like to sing, you know, Mary, you know, some little song. And that's what he will do. That's not who he really is. Everything he's doing is an imposition. It's a putting of the hypnotist's will and agenda into the person, bypassing their normal self. Because that guy wouldn't do that on his own, right? Well, that's what creating subpersonalities is all about. Once they create a subpersonality, I'll define this in a moment, then they begin to say, hey, you're part of us. You're going to be a warrior. You're going to be a runner. You're going to be special. You're going to be, and they begin to say, and they already have this designed out, who you're going to be, what you're going to be. Now, once programming begins to go into personalities, the next step, number four, they're to be demonized. Demons are to be summoned. Demons are to be transmitted. They most likely were already demonized from the birth on. And if you're a believer and understand the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and the power to enable you to be a witness, the giftings of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do things, well, contrary and counterfeit to that, demonic power, demonic gifting, demonic abilities are then also unleashed in these. And I'm, from this point, going to call them chosen ones, okay? Number one, massive abuse. Number two, splitting them, or fragmented or splitting them into other personalities. Number three, the programming. Number four, demonic empowerment and enablement is put into them. And that's, and then let me just give you number four, five. Number five, it's all about control. From the beginning through the process to the very end of it, everything involved is about control. The outside group has basic control, but it's connected to the larger system. And any SRA and any MPD SRA will tell you this. Any one of them will tell you that it ultimately goes back and they believe it's a satanic agenda. That it's ultimately the satanic agenda. That's true in Germany. That's true in England. That's true in Ireland. That's true in Italy. That's true in Canada. That's true in Australia. That's true in South Africa. That's true with the first generation between 55 and 65. That's true between 35 and 45, generally speaking, second generation. That's true with the 17-year-olds up to 25-year-olds, third generation. And that's true with the little ones all the way up to 8 years old. We now have standing on the field in America, four generations, and it all goes back to the end of the 40s and primarily into the 50s when this all began, at least in the United States. But the Russians took the technology from the Nazis in too, and the Brits, and everybody that did, it seems as though years later the victims are showing up by the tens of thousands in all of those nations. Now, at the bottom of that page, 29, bottom of page 29, mention real quick five factors you should know. Number one, massive abuse. Number two, the fragmentation and splitting. And that they have altered personalities. Number three, they have programming imposed in them. Number four, they have demonic empowerments and enablements in them. Number five, it's all about control. Now, take a look at the bottom of the page 29. It tells you that there is a free 24 hours, gives you the link, go to blackawakening.com, and a lecture training course. There's a workbook with that also, but you don't have to have it. I like them, they help, but there's an overview. I go over that, and that's probably over 10 years old. At some point, I'm going to redo them, but it's about 10 years old. But there you go. I take 24 hours to explain to you what I've done now in 40 minutes. On the website, theblackawakening.com, there's a video where they wanted me at a mind control conference in Ghent, West Virginia. Packed out to the hilt. Nick Begich was on there speaking. Catherine Albright with Spy Chips was speaking before me. And then I had to try to condense all of this subject of the Black Awakening and SRA and all that into 45 minutes. And we tried. So the video for that is up. So again, if you want more content and more background and more that will reinforce understanding, and then look at other books, materials, because more and more and more are coming out. I'm buying books left and right. I've got some brand new things I'm looking at and reading right now, but I got to kind of vet them before I put them out. So page 29, bottom of the page, or anybody else that's listening, www.theblackawakening.com, www.theblackawakening.com, and there's 24 hours to reinforce and to give in detail what I'm talking about. Page 31 in your workbooks, if you're using it. At the top of the page, the question is here, what do they do to create and make the victims? I got 7 points. I'm going to add another one, 8. And because of our time, we're going to go through this a little bit quickly, okay? Here are the 7, but I'm adding an 8. 8 things they do, okay? 8 things that they're doing. Now, the 24-hour free course at theblackawakening.com, again, will give broader, much longer, you know, definition to all of this. Number one, bloodline. bloodline. All the victims that I know we've dealt with and all the victims that I've talked to, other helpers and counselors and others that are, all of them have a connection to a counterfeit to Christ bloodline, a bloodline they believe is demonized, a bloodline they believe is a part of the underworld, the coming new order, the Antichrist, a bloodline that they believe the blood is charged, demonized, a bloodline that they believe would also be, and whether you believe this or not, they do. Because the Nazis in Lebensborn, the project Lebensborn, life source, source of life, Himmler and Hitler were trying to backbreed Germans who could prove they were Aryan and backbreed them into original, what they would think were the Godmen, okay? Godmen, Nephilim. Now, here's where the underworld comes in on the Nephilim issue. Aleister Crowley was trying to create the Moonchild. Jack Parsons tried the Babylon working. And many of the chosen ones, these satanic, richly abused, deep down inside, the cult-oriented ones, they all know about the Babylon working. I was told by one that sometimes these chosen ones are referred to as BWBs, Babylon working babies, kind of like a backbred hybrid, backbreeding to Nephilim. Whether you believe this or not, this is what is going to be involved. The Nazis actually believed that. Hitler actually believed that. The Anarchy actually went after this, and so they were wanting to, they had actual secretive, highly secretive birthing centers that involved spiritual empowerment and charging, and then the backbreeding so they could get to the Nephilim blood, the power blood. Here's what they believe, whether you do or not. They believe there's power in the ancient blood, power in the demonic bloodline, power, and maybe in the DNA, they might get pieces of the ancient Nephilim. Now, whether you or I believe, they believe that. And so there's stories out there about the 13 bloodlines and everything else. But even one of the individuals that put out the content on the 13 bloodlines, I talked to you a week ago, a little over a week ago, said, Russ, it goes way beyond the 13 bloodlines. It's like a tree that originates with Satan and so forth, but it's like a tree that keeps branching out and branching out and branching out and branching out so that the charged, demonically charged blood. Now, here's the idea. If you have a mom and a dad that's demonized, highly demonized, willfully and willingly part of the project, so they then get together have sex and then cause conception. They believe that they're going to have a conception and a baby in the womb that's already demonized. Now, let's get a little biblical, okay? John the Baptist. Do you remember what was said about John the Baptist? He was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. His mother was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was, because the mother was filled with the Spirit of God, he was affected, and the scripture simply says he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Contrary and counterfeit to that comes what they believe, that babies in the womb could be demonized and that the demons would be operative because they're given assignments to begin to forge the splitting, forge the dissociation, and build a power, if not recreate Nephilim DNA. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. Point number two, selected. Point number one, bloodline. Point number two, they're selected or chosen. That's where the term comes from. They told me this over and over and over and over and over and over again. They're called chosen ones, chosen in the bloodline, the satanic bloodline, chosen by Satan, chosen to serve Satan, chosen to be a warrior, a soldier. They're chosen. Number three, they are highly demonized from parents, the conception, in the womb, in the entire process. They are highly demonized. There are even little rituals that one individual sat down and drew it out. Maybe I'll draw this out and see if I can put it up. But it's a ritual in how they believe they the parents that are demonized, that when they, you know, have the relations and then when conception occurs is when the human spirit is created, by the way, that the demonization is instant and that the moment of conception, demonization is there, if not even the possibility of Nephilim blood. Well, they believe this. And so they believe that, again, they are selected and chosen. Number three, that it's an extremely high-level demonizing. Preconception, at conception, after conception, at birth, and all along the way. Number four, from birth, they are, well, they already do the traumatizing, trying to create dissociation and splitting. And so by, in the old way, trauma-based, creating trauma in the child when they're in the womb even, causing them to become dissociative. And when they're born, the whole goal is to create enough pain, enough confusion, enough mental, emotional agony, and demonization agony that the personality in the tiny baby, inside or outside the womb, will split. That's four, splitting. I define this more in the larger 24-hour course. Number five, there's a bonding and programming. I already mentioned this. Bond. The first things these guys are going to do when they split, and especially when they're a little bit older, you are part of us. You belong to us. We are your masters, things like that. We're the ones that help you. We're the ones that love you. They all kinds of scenarios to bond them emotionally to the actual splitters or handlers, as they're called, those that are going to begin to program them. The programming, under point five, is by design. They already know they had to create priestesses and fighters and assassins and reconnaissance agents and a whole host of sub-personalities that will have a whole host of jobs, if you think in terms of jobs. So bonding programming is five. Six, training and demonization. Sub-personalities will be trained how to shoot guns, how to do things. Priestesses, how to learn ancient twilight languages, summon demons, do rituals, draw the ancient languages, draw the circles. Under seven is where they're going to be used, actually used from time to time, whether in the ritual, whether being used in the sex rituals and blood rituals or being used to help kill, or if they have a sub-personality that is a highly trained program hunter, how to find other kids, how to abduct others, how to bring others in. A priestess, how to do the actual ceremony in the cutting. That's all in there. And so they get used. That's what happened in the 70s where they're placed in churches. Sub-personalities were assigned to do rituals against the church, to go after the pastor. Sex program sub-personalities, like in the book Secret Weapons, Sexy Sadie. Programmed to do the sex stuff. Programmed to do extraordinary sex stuff. At Bohemian Grove, that's been used. All the monarchs are known for that. So this is vital to really understand, and I'm only giving you the scratching of the surface of this. But if you're ever going to help them, if you're ever going to get involved in helping, you're going to need to know what we had to learn by the hard way through major spiritual warfare, kicked in the face, spit, fought at, shot at, stabbed at, run down, all kinds of stuff along the way. And we'll tell you more and more. But God is in control. God is constantly giving us protection. God wants us to reach victims for the salvation, the healing, the deliverance, the restoration. And I do believe this, like in Ezekiel chapter 8, just like what God did there, God wants the exposure. He wants the ugly, detestable, underground things to be known about. He did that in Scripture for us. He showed us how this works. Now, I wanted to add number eight, sleepers. I believe, let's just say there are only 2 million of these all over the United States only. I believe close to half of them are sleepers. They're intact. Their subpersonalities and demonization is put down, and they're just handled by the outside handlers or covens, enforcers, watchers. And they're just placed places waiting to be triggered, to be used. Okay? Now, I already defined the terms. I'm going to give you 3 more minutes here on this first hour. I defined the term satanic ritual abuse. It originates in the satanic powers, rituals. It is ritual abuse that's being done in all of this. And, of course, it's abuse, SRA. MPD, multiple personality disorder. Some don't like that. They like to call the subpersonalities alters or aspects. But if you've spent years talking to the subparts, subparts have taken us to grave sites and buildings and locations. They've brought to us confiscated materials, and they're the ones that know things. They're the ones that can speak other languages. Most all of them that we dealt with have someone inside that speaks German that knows and is pro-Nazi. Chosen ones is the term I will continue to use. Chosen in the context of Satan, chosen in the context to be a super soldier, a servant of Satan, to be highly used, highly controlled, and to be kind of a supernaturally superior being to everybody else. Now listen, we are down to 8:31, and I've got a victim, a former victim of SRA, going to be calling in, probably already called in, and we're going to have her come on. Stephanie's coming on in a little bit. I'm going to give everybody a 2-minute break. So, Stephanie, if you're listening right now, we're going to give everybody about a 2-minute break. You're going to hear the music in the midst of this break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes. We're going to bring Stephanie back on and let her begin to share the story and ask the questions. So all that I've been talking about, we're now going to be looking at when it comes to a victim. So give us probably 2, maybe 3 minutes. And Stephanie, if you're on the line, we'll be there in about 3 minutes to bring you on. Take a break.